Hey guys, today on today's podcast, we're gonna have the same format and a little more news on yesterday's game of the day. I hope you all enjoyed today's podcast, and we are now on Spotify. So if you're hearing our first episode on Spotify, you already know this. And people listening to this on Anchor, we are now on Spotify. You know, driving in your car, hook it up to Spotify, and you can listen to games to play. Anyway, I'm Colin Campbell, and welcome to Games to Play. So on today's Games to Play Game of the Day segment, we are going to be talking about Luigi's Mansion 3, actually. Now, for those who are wondering, Luigi's Mansion 3, that game out, that sounds weird. Well, Luigi's Mansion 3 is on the Nintendo Switch for the same price as all other Nintendo Switch games that are made by Nintendo. About $76. Sorry, about $79. Which is expensive, but hopefully the price will drop. Now, I like Luigi's Mansion 3 because of how great the gameplay is, again. But let's first talk about the plot. The plot of Luigi's Mansion 3 is you're Luigi, and you bring Mario, Princess Peach, and two Toads to come party at this new mansion. This new hotel. And you're all having a good time partying. And then you all go to bed, basically. So you all go to bed. You all say goodnight to each other. And you go to sleep in your own private suites. When all of a sudden, you wake up to realize that King Boo has actually taken over the hotel and possessed all of the guards. And now it's up to you as Luigi to save the hotel from King Boo. And King Boo destroys the hotel after you go through, I believe, 15 floors and two basements of pure horrors, fighting bosses and capturing ghosts. So after you do literally all of that, you fight King Boo on the roof, where he actually is a really good boss fight. It reminds me of Luigi's Mansion 2 or Dark Moon. Very familiar, but at the same time a little different. I don't remember much from the boss fight. It's actually been a while since I played the game, but the game feels very fulfilling. The reason I like this game is because of the gameplay. I can finally play with my brother in the campaign. That's the main reason why me and my brother like the Nintendo Switch so much, is because of the gameplay. I want to shout out EB Games here, as I'm in Canada. EB Games is where me and my brother get all our goods and services for all our gaming needs. We actually bought these Joy-Con holders, so that way we can play a game. We can play games like Mortal Kombat on a more traditional styled controller. What I mean by that is it feels more like an Xbox controller or a PlayStation controller when we slide it in here, especially after my brother lost our Joy-Con grips that you would put around your wrist to play like tennis. So they've been great. The customer service at ours is freaking amazing. They're so nice to me and my brother. And that's why I recommend going to EB Games for all your gaming needs. They are fantastic service. You can find pretty much any game and they'll have it, or if they don't, they actually look up in their database where that game is, and then they order it for you. And then, like, they give you a call or say, hey, your game is here today. Do you want to come pick it up? And that's what I really like about EB Games' service. And I hope you all go, if you're in Canada or if there's an EB Games in America, go check them out. They're amazing. Back on topic. So, Luigi's Mansion, Luigi's Mansion 3, it has nice fluid gameplay. You also get introduced to Gooigi, who is a brewed cup of coffee possessed by a greenie and is also infused with the new Blueies. Yes, that's the new Blueies, which are the basic enemy. Blueies, ectoplasm. And so, with all of them together, they form a slime called goo. And the goo is heat resistant, and it is very soluble. Which means it basically melts in water. So that's how Gooigi gets a lot of his damage, because Gooigi can't pass through water. And one of the great things is that Gooigi is practically invincible because he can step through anything. He can walk through spikes. He can travel through flames. The only thing he can't touch is water, and also ghosts hurt him, probably because they have goo inside them as well. And goo takes the form of Luigi because the greenie gave it sentience, and it decided Luigi's green, so why don't I become Luigi, the shape of Luigi? And that's all I really have to say about Luigi's Mansion 3. I really love it. Pick up a Nintendo Switch and pick up Luigi's Mansion 3. It is so worth it, especially if you have a sibling or a friend that you two love playing games together with. It is the most fun I've ever had. The multiplayer as well is also split screen, so you, Luigi, him, Gooigi. It is literally the most fun I've ever had with my brother, and it was great for us bonding. So go pick it up at EB Games. And let's move on to other news. Now, the news is, this was just released, according to my brother, BioShock is coming to the Nintendo Switch. Now, if you remember last episode, our game of the day was BioShock, where you go around and you fight bad guys. You try to survive in an underwater city. Now, the new BioShock collection is coming to Nintendo Switch, confirmed by the BioShock YouTube channel and 2K Games. 2K Games. And what is going to happen is we're going to have all three BioShock games on the Nintendo Switch, coming out May 29th with Borderlands Legacy Collection and another game that I am unfamiliar with. Now, the Borderlands Legacy Collection has all of the Borderlands games that I am pretty sure it has all of the Borderlands games bundled up and put on the Nintendo Switch, as well as Xbox and PlayStation. Do not quote me on that, but the Borderlands Legacy Collection is coming to the Nintendo Switch. Which, all of this is fantastic news, especially because I love Borderlands and BioShock. So, with BioShock, the game is, they're having all three of the BioShock games come to the Nintendo Switch. That being BioShock 1, where you play as Jack and try to get out of the city with fighting against Atlas. BioShock 2, where you play as a big daddy named Subject Alpha, or Johnny Topside is his real name. and you are trying to find your biological daughter and get her out and save her from her mother, who is trying to kill you. And Bioshock 2 campaign is very rich in lore. I really enjoy the campaign. I think it is a very nice story, but it seems to be the least popular out of the three games. And then there's Bioshock Infinite, which is the third game in the sequel, in the trilogy, sorry. And the game focuses on Booker DeWitt, who actually goes opposite of Under the Sea. He goes above land to a floating city called Columbia, where he meets his biological daughter, Elizabeth, those two try to escape the city because Booker DeWitt has a gambling problem. And he is trying to solve his gambling debt by paying off the guys with Elizabeth, who he finds out is his daughter, and realizes that the person who says Elizabeth is her father is him, who cannot have a child in an alternate dimension. And so they both fight, and so he fights against the so-called father, whose name is Father Comstock. As he fights with his daughter to bring her to mainland, where eventually he realizes, and spoilers, that he is Comstock and has to die, because there cannot be any more Comstocks, or else the world will end. So his daughter kills him by drowning him. And that is the basic plot for all three of the Bioshock games. I recommend you pick up the Bioshock Collection today, or on the Nintendo Switch. Pre-order it now. It's coming out May 29th. And dare I say, it's gonna be lit. If coronavirus doesn't, block it from coming out. Get it digitally. Speaking of coronavirus, there's nothing to say about coronavirus. Now, as for the Borderlands games, I'm not familiar with the first game. I haven't completed them, but I do enjoy the Borderlands games. I recommend you pick up the Handsome Collection. That's the one me and my brother picked up. Or if you have them, replay them. I find them so fun, especially the RPG elements of the game. My brother just likes the shoot, the pew-pew gun-gun parts. And that's really all I have to say about today's game of the day and big news about Bioshock and Borderlands coming to the Nintendo Switch. Let's move on to our next segment. Today's TV show we're going to be talking about is a Netflix original. Wow, surprising. Today's TV show is Troll Hunter. An old TV show, I guess you could say. But one that had gained a sequel, and hopefully a sequel for the sequel. So, Troll Hunter is about three characters. If you give me a minute. Just had to close the door. Troll Hunter is about three characters. Jim Lake, Tobias, Domzalski, and Claire Nunez. It's a classic three people trying to save the world show. And of course the main character and the lead female get together as a classic TV trope. But basically, these three children are tasked to protect trolls and mankind alike. Now, the trolls are stone monsters who came up with this whole religion around the wizard Merlin. Yes, the exact same Merlin from The Sword in the Stone, King Arthur, that jolly old tale. And Merlin's chosen hero is called the Troll Hunter. And the Troll Hunter's task is to fight the evil Gum Gums. Yes, this is all Netflix. And yes, it is a TV. It is a chill TV show. But it is, in my opinion, a really good show. It deals with a little mature theme. What I mean by that is more for 13-year-olds and like 7 to 13, I'd say, can enjoy the show without it looking too stupid. But you have to be a really babyish 13-year-old like me to be able to like it. But as a YouTuber once said, you don't grow old because you stop playing. You don't stop playing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop playing. And I find there's a little truth in that. Back to the show. I keep rearing off topic a lot. But I like the show because of the constant threat that looms over the characters. As you learn more about the world of the trolls through the human's eyes, you realize that they're just human. They're just like us, except they have magic, no real technology. They've lived in a dark age style of reference. No human has entered their caves in years, and they have not been able to technologically advance themselves forward, instead relying on magic and knowledge of other creatures to be able to survive. They also have to live near what's called the Heartstone. And a Heartstone is what basically drives them to live. Without the Heartstone, they cannot survive. And so they built a whole city, a market, troll market, as it's called, where they live by. They have a whole ecosystem, a whole modern day system there. And, you know, you can go to a tattoo parlor and all that stuff as the Heartstone Troll Market, as it's called in the show. Which, of course, as every good TV show that is on superheroes has it, the base gets destroyed and taken over by a spy who works for the Gum Gum leader. And that is the main focus of the story. To the point where they find Merlin. So when they find Merlin, they realize that they have to fight Morgana. And Morgana is Merlin's apprentice, who turned crazy evil cuckoo banana pants. I just said that. And so she turns evil, and then it's up to the three heroes and the trolls to protect everyone from Morgana and her doomsday. Not device, she just conjures magic from the dead Heartstone to resurrect herself into the brand new bad guy of the series, where she unveils her darkest, where she unveils the eternal night, which trolls can only survive during the night, they can only survive during night because they have sun allergy, which turns them into straight up stone, not just sentient stone that can walk around like golems. I don't know why they didn't call them golems, because traditionally golems are made out of stone and trolls are more flesh like. But when they enter the sun, they freeze completely and become stone. And there are a few species that can go out during the day, that being trolls using umbrellas and sun hats. stalkers. They're the special vulture-like trolls that can go out during the day that stalk their prey until it's dead. Trolls that conjure magic so that way shadows follow them so they can walk in daylight. Changeling trolls, which can change their form into appear like a human, as long as the human isn't in the mortal world. Goblins, which, yes, are obsessed with shiny things, and when you kill one of the if you kill the goblin leader, they go after you all Rambo style with their numbers, and then you have to be able to survive for the rest of your life or until someone else pisses off the goblins. And then you basically get to live if they don't kill you, but you'll have to live in fear. And that's the premise of the show, basically. And that's why I like it so much, because there's so much detail to the world itself, to the world building, not necessarily the characters. Every character that is added to the show gives world building. Like these two characters, Leslie Pepperjack, everyone just calls him Pepperjack, and Steve, I forget his last name, and Steve, who, Steve is the bully, the big jock of the show. Everyone hates him, but everyone has to respect him because they don't want to be stuffed into a locker. And Pepperjack is the nerd that always gets put in the locker because he's a nerd and has to do homework. So eventually they realize after finding one of the goblins that Jake, I can't remember his name. They realize that they realize that he is the troll hunter, and they think he's evil until he's not. After finding this slime thing, they realize that the slime thing is trying to eat dead remains, and if the dead remains are there, that means there's going to be a troll war. So they have to get rid of it before it eats all the rocks. And because of that, they figure out that you can use flour. And so Pepperjack and Steve basically team up and become friends and help the troll hunter fight off the goop thing. And then they become friends throughout the rest of the show, and they join the main cast. And they have a bigger prominent role. They have an even prominent role during the sequel series, Three Below, which follows three aliens, who basically, they come from a planet where everyone is digital, where everything is digital. And so their whole existence is digital, and so that allows them to basically regenerate themselves at, not will, but in a regeneration chamber, like Respawn. And that allows them to survive throughout the show. It's their main motivator, because their parents are in the ship because they got taken over by an evil alien, and they have to learn to live on Earth, and because of that, they learn about Tobias and the trolls, and they figure out that the trolls and Tobias are linked together. The trolls and the aliens are linked together. An ancient weapon was actually left in the troll market, which allowed everyone to live, carried by the old troll hunter. And that's it for this segment of the episode. I hope you all I hope you all, after my constant rambling, check out Troll Hunter for a better example of the show. Let's move on to our next segment, movies. So who liked the Sonic movie? And that's what we're going to be talking about. That's our movie for today that we're going to be talking about. The Sonic movie. What did you guys think of it? I honestly thought it was one of the hidden gems that comes from video game movies. It was a decently good buddy comedy, in my opinion. And there was a lot of unexpected turns that I had. And for those who haven't watched it, spoiler warning. And those who don't care about the spoiler warning, let's just get on with the plot. The plot of the movie is that Sonic comes from an alternate dimension, or an alternate planet, where anthropomorphic animals are real, and they live in a kind of, what's the word? In a treetop style, treetop style society. And so Sonic was raised under a new character named Longclaw. And because Sonic's so fast, he and Longclaw had to constantly change worlds. And one of the worlds was Earth that Sonic had to live in. And Sonic lived there for years and didn't try to develop friendships because he was scared that people would try to kidnap him and study him for his speed. He was, Longclaw was right, but he eventually had to make friends because he was forced into it when a sheriff basically discovered him and, well, the police discovered him because the police were after him. And the sheriff had to buddy up with Sonic to escape from Eggman, who in this show, in the movie, is a very respected but made fun of. A very made fun of but great scientist. And I'm not surprised. That's how he's always been depicted. A lot, actually. So, that's it, actually. A lot of twists and turns that happened were kind of like, that's what happened. The movie was great. It wasn't, like, my favorite movie ever, but it was better. It was better than expected, in my opinion. When you hear a video game movie, you expect something that isn't bad or terrible. You expect decent, I guess. You expect bad. You do I bet there's a few people who are like, I don't expect bad. I like video game movies. Especially because I understand the material. And when the director and writers respect the material, it makes sense and it's a good movie. Well, think of the Mario movie. It wasn't that great. Heck, it wasn't good. When you think of the Mario movie, they didn't really understand the material. Yoshi was a full-on dinosaur pet for Princess Daisy. Now, I'm pretty versed on my Mario characters, but I've never heard of a Princess Daisy. Well, if you haven't, then you're a rookie, because Princess Daisy is is a pretty old character that came out during the Mario Land series, I believe. When Mario on the game, with Mario on the Game Boy, when he visited Wazaland, and the first appearance of Wario as the bad guy. And Princess Daisy was the damsel in distress that Mario had to basically rescue. And ever since then, she's been a not prominent character, but she's spent a lot of times in Mario Kart. Actually a lot of the sports games. Not really Mario Kart. She's mainly appeared in the sports games as a prominent character, but not the main games or Mario Kart or Smash Bros. She just recently appeared in Smash Bros. Ultimate. But it was weird to see her in the new Mario, in the Mario movie. Especially because you would expect Princess Peach. And as troped, it was Luigi who actually fell for Daisy. As that is what's usually depicted. So you would expect Mario to fall for Princess Peach, but Luigi falling for Princess Daisy, and Mario just got sucked in it. Mario, of course, was the main character, kind of. It was Mario and Luigi, but Mario got more of the action roles. He was more of the head honcho, and Luigi was there just to rescue the princess. Not to mention that they got rocket boots and no power-ups. It just fell off. But back to the Sonic movie. It felt respected, except for the first adaptation of Sonic on the big screen. That was very not well received. But I felt the redesign of Sonic was good. It made sense. It fit. And it made Sonic what he was, the blue blur. One thing that they left out was that Sonic's arms, like modern Sonic and classic Sonic, his arms are actually peach, not blue. But that's more of just a nitpick. Sonic Boom, Sonic, actually does have blue arms. Again, just nitpicking. But still, it was good as a buddy comedy. There was no other characters, just Sonic, the police officer, and his wife, dog. Actually, the aunt, the wife's sister, was absolutely hilarious. She's one of those sisters who's like, I knew your husband was bad for you when I first met him. It was funny to watch those scenes. There was a lot of good comedy moments, and the road trip style that Sonic portrayed was not what the cop portrayed, and it kind of blended well because cop didn't want to do this, but he knew he had to. It was his responsibility as the cop to be able to protect protect his citizens. And because of that, they go on a journey to basically become friends. And then Eggman realizes that these rings that Sonic has, they're like his regular rings in the games that he collects for cash, are actually used like they were in Sonic X as a power-up. Sonic X was a TV show that ran for a while. And so the rings were what allowed Sonic to travel between dimensions. And not just that, he could also travel between he could go from Los Angeles to China with the rings. And so, at the end of the movie, that's how the chase was. Eggman went through the rings with Sonic, and they went through Egypt. I forget some other places. Egypt was very prominent. They went on the Great Wall of China and other places. Eggman was in this giant ship. It was a decent action scene until the end when Sonic becomes the Super Saiyan. Not like Super Sonic. If you guys have watched there was a stop motion Sonic series that I liked when I was really young. So he went like Super Sonic, but not yellow glowing Super Sonic, like a blue glow. And that's what I meant by the stop motion series. There was this Sonic could turn blue, like a glowing blue Super Sonic style, but blue. And that was his base form, basically. I know, it sounds silly. And so that was what he did. He turned this glowing blue and then talked about family. And how these were his friends and family now. And he had to defend them like they defended him. And then he shot Eggman to this mushroom planet. And this mushroom planet is where Eggman is today. And then the after credit scene. Spoilers if you haven't watched the after credit scene. Tails shows up. And Tails is looking for Sonic. And that's the plot of Sonic. And why I liked it. I hope you all enjoyed today's podcast. I know today's podcast was a little less than it was yesterday, but I still hope you all enjoyed it. Tomorrow or next time I do the podcast, I will try better to come prepared, and I will see you all in the next podcast. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy the rest of your day.